Away and racing and hooked on Scotch began fast. Whiskey Riot was away quickly and he's going to cross over and lead. So Whiskey Riot led out by a length, settling down to Western Envoy, challenging, going through to third now. Right on their tail, Oakvale Beauty, followed by Hooked on Scotch to the outside, followed then by Flynn, Jarro, Bale, Campini, and last Get It Gizmo. Western Envoy and Whiskey Riot, they're locked in battle. Oakvale Beauty's a length away, but it's Western Envoy letting down, raced up to Whiskey Riot, who lifts. Oh, what a go! What a fantastic go! Whiskey Riot or Western Envoy. It might be Whiskey Riot to win the Melbourne Cup. And
yes,
Western Envoy.
Yes, he kicked back. Western Envoy looked like he had Whiskey Riot halfway up that straight there at Sandown, but Whiskey Riot kicked back to give Anthony Azzopardi his biggest success in the sport, his first TAB Melbourne Cup. Unfortunately for Anthony, he could only manage to get a reserve in into this year's great race with Short Pork, the second reserve, but what a field it is. One of the best TAB Melbourne Cup fields in history, and what a great history this race has. It is the world's best greyhound race, and it's time to preview this wonderful event worth $635,000 to the winner. Mick Floyd and Jason Adams join me now in the RSN 927 studios. Hello to you, Mick.
Good morning, Gareth. It's great to be back in here talking about what is, it is one of the best editions of the world's greatest greyhound races we've seen.
And Jason Adams.
Great to be here, Gareth. And it's grand final week. It was built up the Friday night. Yep. And look, I've only been around a handful of years, but you speak to people who've been around for decades and they say the same thing, that it's one of the best fields that the race has seen. So look, some superstars lined up and it's going to be a really, really hot contest.
I've been covering, say, sport and racing for, how old am I now? About 16 years around that. I remember when I started off at Wynn Television, that I used to go out and do stories at Darren Murray's place with Slater. And over the years, I've always had an interest in greyhound racing, obviously with my, especially when I went to Sky Racing and then my time in Perth. But I don't think I've ever seen a race or greyhound racing be in a position that it is in now, that it has got greyhounds that are can be made. People know who they are. Like, this is the TAB Melbourne Cup where I think punters can identify these greyhounds. Simon Told Helen, Shimmer Shine, Hardstyle Rico, Tick Along Tonk. If you walked into a TAB, they would know who these dogs are now.
And there's a good reason for it. Those four greyhounds have basically dominated Victorian group racing this year. Of the 20-odd sprint races they've been eligible for, one of these greyhounds has been in 17 of them. So it just shows how frequently they've been at that top level. And, of course, the first group one of the year, those four greyhounds all lined up in the Silver Chief. Yep. So for the last 12 months now, these four in particular have been at the absolute top of the game in Victoria.
The sport, I don't know if it's been COVID and greyhound racing took centre stage along with the other codes, but you can identify dogs and people can relate to them now. They're becoming the stars, and you can throw in Tornado Tears and especially a greyhound like Houdini Boy. Like, people will watch Friday night just to watch those dogs go around. And I think that's the best guide and the biggest KPI greyhound racing can tick off.
I think in any sport anywhere in the world, you're only as big as the profile of your superstar talents. And right now, at this point in time, you only need to look at one field, being the Melbourne Cup, and acknowledge that there are some absolute jets lining up there that have built a profile up throughout the year, and that's why they are so recognisable as well.
All right, then, let's go through runner by runner for this year's TAB Melbourne Cup. So the first prize money is $435,000, $130,000 for second, and $65,000 for third. Sipping Sullivan has come up with box number one. Deb Coleman prepares this greyhound one in 29.63 to lead all of the way. He was the final dog into this year's TAB Melbourne Cup. I don't think he can win, Mick, but he's definitely a place chance from that draw.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely drawn his box. Stepped okay last week, went 5.06 to the first mark. And look, that's certainly quick enough to hold a spot on the rail there. The pressure's going to come very early, of course. Simon Told Helen drawn on its outer, but certainly he's capable of stepping in and being prominent that first turn. The question mark will be, with that speed on its outside, where it'll be through that first turn. And the last section isn't its strongest either. So, look, it's going to be a big ask for it to win the race, but thoroughly deserved to be there on the back of that very tough game Pete win last week. And yeah, I think he's a reasonable sort of each way chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't think many people would be tipping him on top or even including him. He's a very good dog, no doubt about that. But to win a Melbourne Cup, he's a bit too inconsistent early for mine. He was began well last week. He wanted to get to the fence, which suggests that, that box one is perfect. But then in his prelude the week prior, he didn't begin that well at all. So he's going to have to be faultless, especially with that fierce, high pressure, high bustling big boy in Simon Told-Helen on his outside.
Let's have a chat about the champ, Simon Told-Helen. In fact, his trainer, David Burnett, joins us on the line. And it would be fitting, in a way, that the greyhound that has performed the best all year wins the sport's best race in the TAB Melbourne Cup. And David Burnett joins us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, boys.
Simon Told-Helen, how has he pulled up and how has his week been after winning his heat in the Melbourne Cup when he went 29-26 to lead all of the way?
Yeah, pulled up sensationally. He's ready and raring to go now, so hopefully he peaks at the right time tomorrow night and gets it all right at the start.
David, tell us, you've had a couple of Melbourne Cup finalists before, Team Antich and Kiss Me Couture a few years ago. How's it different this year? You've got the favourite in the race. You've won plenty of group races before with him. How's it different this year compared to previous years?
The other times were more wishing and hopeful. Hopeful was proud to be there on the other occasions with dogs that were had probably no real chance of winning it, and just hoping that we could get through where this dog is just the ultimate professional, and he'll acquit himself well, and I've got a real good chance of winning it this year, which is a bit different to the other years.
And Dave, it's a rich race as we know, but the first prize is sort of irrelevant when it's got TAB Melbourne Cup sitting there at the top of the form guide, because it means a lot more than the winner's check, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Again, the dog deserves to win a big race like this to cap his career off, and it's all about in Victoria winning that Melbourne Cup. It's the cream of the cream, and to win that tomorrow night would be just sensational for his career. He deserves it, and hopefully he can do that.
You mentioned about the money, but I think sometimes when you look back in life, and it's money's great when you've got money in your bank account. But, David, you can look back with your greyhound, say, in 10 or 15 years' time, and you can sit back and say, well, my dog actually made a difference to this sport. Like, he got people talking about greyhound racing. He transcended the sport. That must make you proud in a way, that the difference your dog has made in a sport that I guess you love so much.
I know I've got a good dog, and you guys in the media have pumped him up, and it's terrific that you have, and he's been good for the sport and everything else. But again, in the kennels at home, he's just another one of those 15 dogs here. And again, to his credit, he just comes out and he does things that, again, I've never seen a dog do before, besides some of the greats and Fernando Bale and Brett Lee and those type of dogs. And you know what you're going to get tomorrow night. He's going to be tardy early. He's going to hunt up in the first corner and hopefully get five or six lengths in front and hopefully hang on. That's his standard race procedure pattern. And if one of the other dogs are good enough to pick him up and beat him, well, congratulations to him. That's great to see.
I mentioned a couple of those other greyhounds you've had made in Melbourne Cups, David. What has he taught you as a trainer?
This dog?
Yes.
Again, the other dogs have taught me to be relaxed and not stress and not change the routine and just stay what's been working. That's the biggest thing, and not listen to all the hot gossip around what you should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. So just stuck to the routine, give him that little let up a couple of weeks ago. Come in, hopefully peaks tomorrow night like he's due to, like he did when we went through the same process for the Perth Cup. And unfortunately, when we went through the $1 million race, it didn't quite work, but it was supposed to. And so hopefully I'm just keeping calm and keeping sensible and letting the dog do his job.
And I would imagine upstairs his old mate, Who Told Steve, will be barking and cheering him on, David.
Yeah, he won't be riding his back. He'll be sitting underneath lifting him up and lifting him over the line, hopefully. So, it's great that they'll be both there together.
Yeah. Mate, we wish you the best of luck with Simon Told-Helen. You've been sensational. You're the number one plumber in Geelong, because I was driving back from Torquay the other day and something, this ute whizzed past me and it said Burnett Plumbing. I said, I know that bloke.
We supply plumbing supplies to everybody in the district, so we don't do any plumbing. Just sell it and
Okay.
Four shops. four shops and I think 16 of those vehicles at the moment, so it keeps us on our toes. And yeah, the hobby of training greyhounds keeps me sound and sane.
I guess it would be a great distraction this time around anyway, the business there away from training, Simon told Helen.
Yeah, the boys are waiting for their pays. I'm trying to do the pays and you're holding it up at the moment. So it keeps me really concentrating on the real world. I've still got to make money and still do your job outside of dogs. And yeah, he's out in the kennels, seriously, he's hydro bath in about an hour's time and then he'll be ready to go.
Put it this way, I'll be joining the Burnett Plumbing Christmas party if Simon told Helen wins and 450 jumps in. It'd be some party.
Well, I'll tell you, the staff have organised it. There's going to be some party and they're spending my money. So it's going to be a big night.
Hey, just a question from one of our listeners. Can you ask David who is Simon and who is Helen?
Simon is Dr. Simon Crowley.
Yep.
Who owns a share in the dog, and Helen is his wife, who didn't know about the dogs originally when he bought them. So about 15 years ago when he got involved in the dog, he didn't tell his wife, but I think at that stage he was involved in horses that were costing a little bit of money, and she wasn't over keen on getting into horses or continuing on into dogs in another area. So yeah, eventually somebody told Helen, it was up to Simon to tell her, because she was a bit grumpy about not knowing what's going on. She had an idea there was something going on.
We'll have to get Helen on, because I think that's a ripper story. I bet you she loves Simon now that Simon bought, Simon told Helen. So, hey, you're a star, Dave. Great story. You got a wonderful dog. And win, lose, or draw, he's done yourself and your team so proud this year.
Thank you, guys. And yep, good luck to everybody tomorrow night.
There's David Burnett. You could listen to him all day. He's got a... And as he pointed that out, like, you know what you're going to get with Simon told Helen. He's one dog you'll probably go to war with, because you know that he's got your back. You'll know that he'll miss it slightly, and then he'll muster like no other greyhound really has done in the sport's history. He'll burn down the back, and then he'll get tired in the concluding stages, and whether he's got enough of a lead to hang on, Mick.
That'll be the big question, yeah. And David's been absolutely fantastic with his time. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot on, but thanks, David, for always giving up the time there. But you're absolutely right about Simon told Helen. The only question I have about him is that just those first couple of strides, because once he gets going, there's no question where he's at. He's an absolute machine going through that first turn. Jace tweeted a really good head-on video from the other night, and he just muscles his way through. There's no other greyhound I've seen that consistently does that start after start. So, look, he's a big winner out of the box draw. Coming with box two just suits him beautifully, and no surprise that he's now into $2.40 for the cup.
And that head-on vision, what it showed was that he's... one of his strongest qualities is one that's not listed in the form guide, and that's been able to barge through, take gaps, and really force room for himself. And when I look at all these greyhounds in this field, Gareth, about what they've done and how good they are, they can obviously all run very similar times, but when it comes to winning the big races, turning up at finals time, Simon told Helen's been able to do that throughout the year.
It's tough to his any chance. Like, he went 5.05 to that first section. We know he's a strong greyhound. But can he run in the low 29s to finish over the top of them? Can he be within striking distance of Simon told Helen?
I find it really hard to make a case for him. You've mentioned his quick early split last week. He went 5.08 the week before. But I just think that pressure at the first turn, you know, these dogs will be swooping down from outside of him as well. He's got Simon told Helen. He's got a cross. I don't think he's capable of doing that. It's going to be a really big ask for him to get through.
Jason?
The way that he began, he's got to do that and more, I think, this time around. His speed out of a box is okay, but it's his acceleration after that where he's going to get swamped a little bit in that run to the first turn. So he's probably the strongest greyhound in the race, Gareth. So from his point of view, he's got to really ride those bumps early on and settle close enough mid-race.
Okay, so he's at $81. He's the roughest of the eight greyhounds in this year's Tab Melbourne Cup Tough Tiers. Then we move on to the four Lucy's Mile, who is also at $81 and $9 the place. He probably needed box number one to be competitive, and he gets box number four. He's in a little bit of trouble.
The only case I could make for him to win the race would be if they... If you look at the first splits, they're all pretty even, other than Lucy's Milo, who's a little bit slower. Best chance for him is to
the
miss
Bradbury.
It slightly, drop to the rail and take advantage of any mistakes on the outside, because he will be hard to the fence. So, and we know he's strong. He's got 600-metre form, but I think his best racing is probably behind him. It's fair to say he's 4 years old in a few days. So just shows what a wonderful job by the dailies to keep him up for as long as they have. But, yeah, it's going to be a real big ask for him to win this one.
So in horse terms, Jason, that's like a 10-year-old stepping out in a Melbourne Cup.
Probably more an eight or nine-year-old. Yeah.
I can't see a way that he can win. He had the slowest first split out of last week's heats, where he had a really clear run into the first turn. So he will want to get to the inside, so he may have an impact on how the race plays out early. But I can't see him going well enough or getting enough room to be any winning chance.
One of the great names in any sport is Lucky Carabasakis. He trains at Pearsdale. He trains Hardstyle Rico, that's in arguably the best form of his career. He's at $5. He's had good support with the tab for this year's Cup. He's drawn inside of all of the big guns apart from Simon Told Helen. Can he win the Tab Melbourne Cup, Mick?
Oh, he certainly can. He's certainly fast enough. 29.17, his heat says as much. Back at the Meadows, he ran the fifth fastest time ever when he won the Silver Bullet, beating Simon Told Helen. I would have been much happier to see him drawn wider, just to get that clear galloping room early. But look, he's certainly capable. He can run fast enough. I'm just not entirely sure where he'll be through that first turn.
Okay.
I think he's a strong player. I really do. I don't think Box 5 is a major disaster for him, because he's got Lucy's Milo and Tough Tears on his inside, who we've spoken about. They're only going to go one way, and that's towards the fence. So for Rico, he needs room. I think he's half a chance to get it. So okay. I think he's a big player.
So Hardstyle Rico there, a good push by Jason Adams, the pride of the West. Tommy Shelby, they love this greyhound. He's a greyhound that makes the papers over there in WA. He was a greyhound that Steve Withers probably didn't want to start in the heats of the Melbourne Cup after he finished at fourth at the Meadows in his second race start in this state, after finishing fourth in the Top Gun. He came home, or he didn't come, he said basically, oh, we'll send him back to WA. His wife persuaded him to head to Melbourne. He said, Steve, just jump. Don't be stupid, Steve. Jump on that plane and go and see your dog. He misses you. You miss him. I can't put up with you any longer. Just go back and go to Melbourne and see Tommy. He went to Melbourne. Obviously, Cal might have talked him into staying. Had a look at Sandown or the walk around there on that Wednesday. He jumped. He took a couple of bumps. He wanted to be there. And he recorded a time of 29.21, that first sectional 5.06. Can he bustle his way and find a way to win a Tab Melbourne Cup from box number six?
He's got to turn his form around for mine, Gareth. He starts in Victoria, where he began okay in the Top Gun. He start following that, the Meadows run, which you mentioned, he didn't get the start right at all. And last week, he didn't nail it. He was almost last off the map. But the determination and tenacity he showed to push through a gap at the first turn, that's the quality of Tommy Shelby. So he's got to turn around that box speed for mine, Mick.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a bit of a sticky draw, actually. His run last week was really impressive, the way he rode those bumps, and he had the fastest run home time of the night as well. So if he does get a clear run, not only can he run fast enough, he can do it at the back end as well, but he's going to have to step a lot better. Hardstyle Rico, Shimmershine, Tilong Tonk drawn around him. He's got to be with him. He's not going to be able to run those dogs down if he's conceding any sort of start at all.
0416905052. Get your questions in. We'll have 5 minutes of question time. You can ask Jason or Mick, and if you've got a question about Friday night with the Melbourne Cup field, the Bold Trees field, the Sir John Dillon Memorial, which is a terrific race over the 600, basically, the 595 at Group 3 level, where Weblek Ace takes on Sipping Bram and Christo Bale. So plenty to discuss. The people's dog, our dog anyway, Shimmer Shine at RSN Central. We've been on the bandwagon. People like Jason Adams and Mick Floyd have jumped off from time to time. George Ferrugia didn't want to know him. But we stuck fat, didn't we, Mikey, with Shimmer Shine? And he broke through for that Group 1 three starts back. He won his heat in 29.19. He went 5.04 to that early section. But he's got box 7. He's got some stars drawn inside of him. This is the race that he can really stamp himself as not quite a champion, but he's not far away if he can win and overcome this box draw against this quality.
I think it almost does stamp him as a champion. He's made a lot of group finals without winning one, but we've seen it in the past where once that dog breaks through at that top level, they just keep on winning from there. And the Top Gun run was enormous. I wouldn't read too much into the shootout run. It was a different sort of race. His heat run last week was really good, and we know he can go faster. He's run the second fastest time ever at the track. Box 7, I don't think, is a real issue, other than he's got that bit of pace on his outside. But, he ticks a lot of boxes. The only genuine concern I have with him is that he can be a little bit inconsistent at box rise. He can ping. When he ran that second fastest time, he went 4.93 to the first mark. But he has gone 5.15 as well. So if he brings his A game, he's every chance of leading this field. And if he's out in front, there's nothing in this field that'll run him down.
Put the binoculars down, Jim Bob. It's all over if he leads.
Shimmer Shine's a Shimmer Shine. He can run the overall times that we know. He's going to run a good first split, but the query that I've got is nothing to do with him. It's got to do with those around him. So, again, for that outside brigade, it's just so important they get the start right, because they're not going to give each other many chances, Gareth.
Okay, and what about Tigalong Tonk, box number 8? We had a chat to Corey Grenfell in the early part of the week, and he says his dog's never been better. He's in the zone. He was the quickest qualifier. And it's probably, if you had a debate right now, who is the best greyhound at this very moment in the country? Tigalong Tonk. He beat Shimmer Shine in the shootout, and then he went the quickest time last week.
His last two starts have been absolutely outstanding. That shootout win was outstanding. 29.03, the times on the board. Excuse me, it was a race record. Went quick early, went 5.03 early. Butted up last week at the fastest heat win, went 5.04 early. I wasn't all that keen on the box draw when it first came out, but looking at it further, I don't think that's going to harm me at all. I think he's going to get enough space out there. But again, as Jay said, that this outside brigade, they're going to have to do everything right at box rise, because it's always harder the wider you get. Obviously, you've got to cover a bit more ground to get across the field. But he's racing in tremendous form, and there's no reason why he can't. There's an interesting number I saw going through the form last night. Tigalong Tonk and Simon Told Helen have raced 8 times in the same race. Tigalong Tonk's never finished in front. So,
okay.
Make of that what you will.
But he defeated Shimmer Shine the other day. Wrong. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I apologise.
They've gone around the same race 8 times, and Simon Told Helen's beaten him each time. So, that's over 12 months of racing. But look, I think he'll get his chance here. He'll get plenty of space early, and if he can repeat those runs from the last two starts, then look, I'm really warming to him at around about $4.40.
Okay. At the moment. I was getting confused with Shimmer Shine and Tigalong Tonk's head-to-head record. And, of course, Tigalong Tonk defeated him in the shootout the other day.
That he did. And he's never been racing with any more confidence. He's had the clear air to go on and set the times that he has done in his past two runs. He's got a good record from box 8. And we speak about the pressure that's going to be from that outside, Gareth. Tigalong Tonk's got to hold his own line. So it's going to be an absolute matter of what's happening underneath him, because track position is all important. We know these greyhounds can all go faster the first split. They'll get there around the same time. And if they do, you want to be on the inside, because, as you often say, Mick, it is the shortest way home.
Who wins the 65th edition of this year's TAB Melbourne Cup?
I'm with Simon Told Helen. I just want to highlight the fact that he's got that quality that doesn't jump out in the form guide. He's a beast. He'll push through. He's got some of the most brutal acceleration that we've ever seen in the sport. And in terms of winning the big races, it's been something he's done commonly throughout the year, so that's why I'm with Simon Told Helen.
Yeah, I've got him on top as well. His form just speaks for itself. If he wins this, he becomes the sports 8th millionaire. He's won 4 times at Group 1 level already. He's won 8 group races. You run through the whole lot. He ticks every single box. The only concern I have with him isn't him so much as the greyhounds around him. If he does get bottled up a little bit early, that'll give that opportunity the outside brigade to get across. But look, it's going to be very hard to beat. But I am warming towards Tigalong Tonk as well, especially at that price.
I'm worried for Simon Told Helen that Tough Tears could ping the lids like last week and cut straight down on him and hinder his turn of foot, because Tough Tears headed straight to the fence last week in his heat. That's from Manny. Do you agree there?
I agree that he can have a big impact on the race, because in that head-on vision that we spoke about from last week, Tough Tears immediately wanted to be behind the line of the lure. But I think Simon Told Helen is going to give it right back to him. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a number of times through Simon Told Helen's career, he ruins the races of other greyhounds by just being a bully. but not himself. He doesn't really cost himself a lot in doing so. So I just think he's going to barge through.
I agree with that. The only caveat being that if he's in a bumping duel and he loses that half a length or a length, that's the only margins you're going to need if one of those four draw on the outside can actually get that
ping across.
Run through.
Yeah. What about the Bold Treese? I can't believe that you're knocking Houdini Boy. Was that you, Jace, or was it not knocking?
Might have been Jason Lincoln.
Yeah, $1.80. Like, Jace, he likes to ruin a party a little bit, doesn't he, Jace? Like, he's lost all this weight these days. He's running and all that. Like, get behind the most popular dog in the country now, Jason Lincoln.
He's nice and tanned as well, but he uses his head over his heart, which is something I struggle to do. So he's taken on Houdini Boy. He's as sweet as M, but I think with Houdini Boy, I know people sort of disgust. He might be a bit flat after last week's run. His run home time wasn't exactly impressive compared to the other finalists that we see, but I think when we see those high-speed types step up, they might struggle to back up. But Mick Houdini, boy, he's been a rocket over 600 metres. His run-home times have been absolutely elite. So I don't feel he's going to go any worse than what he did last week.
No, I agree. He flipped the script in his heat win last week. We're used to him seeing dropping out the back and weaving his way through and making the highlight reel that way. But he jumped really well. He found the front at the first turn. And, look, he's never headed. He might have been a little bit weak at the end relative, but he's gone 41.56. He's only 2/100ths outside the best tonight.
Georgie Farrugia made a really good point. He's probably better suited when there's some speed around him and he's a better chaser than he is making his own luck out in front. He probably switched off a little bit maybe. So he probably needs a few of those dogs like out wide to show some speed to head him like Manila Knight to really jump and run and for him to chase Manila Knight.
And there's a bit of pace underneath him as well. Yep. Sweet as M, Blazing Cartier, they can both run a good early split. So there's no reason why, even if he does jump, he's going to be prominent and he's going to make his own luck. If he drops him behind them, I think he's going to be smart enough to work his way through anyway.
And I think Calgrino would probably prefer that he settles second, third or fourth rather than out
so
in
do
front
we.
Because it just sort of sets up his race a bit better.
Yeah. And the excitement, we want him to finish weaving his way through and getting held up and then coming from nowhere and doing the Darren Flynn Dale Chautauqua call. Yes! He's done it. What about outside these two features? How are we making some money there at Sandown tomorrow night, Jace?
Good card. I want to point out a couple. The first of them raced one, number two, Aston Silk. I know a lot of people are bullish on her last week. I think she's more of a chance this time around. Not a lot of pressure either side, so she should be able to find herself in a nice spot. The big danger is Arizona Rise. He was absolutely enormous last week, but I think Aston Silk could be able to find the top earlier on. And then I'm also looking towards race number 10 in the Greyhound trained by good friend of the station in Brendan Purcell, Eagle's Nest Egg number 3. I thought he was great at the Meadows on Saturday and should go well again tomorrow night. Mick, and what's a stunning card of racing. It really is. It's just quality from top to bottom.
It is. 7 finals, $1 million in prize money, and great racing throughout. It's interesting, you mentioned Arizona Rise. He's first reserve for the Melbourne Cup. He's the second reserve for the Cup Night Sprint. Mm-hmm. Ends up going around, I think he was the 6th fastest time overall last Friday night. He's going around a mixed race to start off the night. But the grand I'm really looking forward to is McCauley's Lad. We've mentioned him a few times in the past. He's an absolute flying machine. He would have been going towards the Cup, but was a little bit sore after one of his recent runs. He went around at Sandown on Sunday in a heat of this series and went exceptionally quick. I think he'll take a lot of improvement for that. And look, he's probably going to be a little bit short, but I expect him to be winning the third race in very, very quick time.
Tell me how they like Christo Bale. Is he a good thing? Like box number 2 can jump on the pace. He was a couple more bounces into the Melbourne Cup final. He's back to his favourite trip of 600.
Yeah, that's the biggest upside, stepping up back up in distance. I think it's his bread and butter. And that Sir John Dillon Memorial final you speak of, that is an absolute belter. But I think where he's drawn in box 2, he should be able to begin ahead of Where Black Ace and probably ahead of Zipping Brown as well and maybe find himself leading, which would be something he hasn't been able to do consistently, given recently, especially, he's been racing against some of the best sprinters going around in the country.
I think there's a case for a few of these. You throw in Zipping Bram, who we know is a very fast greyhound, and Last Hurrah. He seems to fly under the radar a little bit, Last Hurrah, for a Group 1 winner that's coming off 7 in a row recently, back up to his pet distance.
They won't beat Christo Bale tomorrow, Mickey. Hey, you can catch all of the action on RSN 927 tomorrow night. You can catch all of the action on Sky Racing Active. You just download the Sky Racing Active app and you can actually get your Chromecast and you can watch it on your big screen at home. It'll be a big coverage tomorrow. Jason and I and Jason Lincoln, I think, will be involved as well. So looking forward to that. The great race, the TAB Melbourne Cup. Can't wait. Well done, lads. Been Thank a great build-up.
Cheers, Gareth. Looking forward to it.
You should get a pay rise from your organisation the way that you've promoted this great race.
It's